Good morning, church family and ministry friends. This is Pastor Stephen Brooks. Welcome today to our online internet around the world church service. And I'm so glad that you are here today. Woo! Praise the Lord. God's going to feed you with His Word, and your faith is going to be strengthened. Praise God. Before we jump into the message today, let's first honor God by bringing in the tithes and offerings into the storehouse of the Lord. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, where Paul the Apostle said, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time." Now, my friends, as you know, we're preparing a special resurrection offering. And this year, Resurrection Sunday is on March 31st, Sunday. Woo, praise God. And so I have come to you ahead of time so that we can prepare this special gift. Amen. Now, we as believers, of course, will always honor the Lord with the tithe. So you need to send the tithe in. But because we are approaching Resurrection Easter Sunday morning, let's also bring a special offering in on that day to honor God, because it's the day that God gave His best. He gave His one and only Son so that the whole world can have the opportunity to be saved simply by putting their faith and trust in Him. And we did that, and we're in the family of God. So let's honor God for this unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ, His Son, that gave His life for us on that, during that time frame. And it's on Sunday morning that He came out of the tomb alive forevermore. Praise God. So while we're going to honor God, of course, with the tithe that belongs to Him, we are preparing for a special resurrection offering. Again, Paul said, "I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand." The generous gift, of course, was a generous offering, which you had previously promised that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Now, over the years, myself, and I'm sure you probably have noticed it too, you do find people that take that phrase about sowing, they take it out of context. And they'll say, like, "Well, now if we sow love, we'll reap love. If we sow a smile, people will in return smile back at us." But the reality is that chapter 8 and chapter 9 all involve the subject of the giving of an offering. So Paul has not changed the context. He's not suddenly talking about sowing a smile. He's not talking about sowing, a kernel of corn or a watermelon seed because you want to grow some vegetables in your backyard garden. No, he's still talking about what happens when you work God's system of giving and receiving, sowing and reaping in the area of an offering. And so this is talking about what you can expect when you give your offering. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows," and again, the context is the sowing of an offering, "he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So just simply pray, ask God what He would have you to do, and I want to encourage you to do your best on that day, because it's the day that God gave His best. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 10 is very exciting. "Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." God gives seed to the sower. And I believe that if you don't quite have it all yet, maybe you're still pulling together your special offering, I believe that on or before March 31st, you'll have it, because God gives seed to the sower. And I would encourage you to reach into the next level of breakthrough by sowing a breakthrough seed. Perhaps there's a certain threshold you've never gone past before. I remember the first time my wife and I ever sowed a $1,000 offering. It was in the year of 1997. And the reason we had never sown it before that was because we never had it. But you know what? God gave us the seed to sow, and we sowed it. And then over the years, we've had the opportunity and the privilege to sow greater and greater seeds. So when you want to break through into greater levels, you want to sow a greater seed. And I believe that God gives seed to the sower. That's why there's no strain and there's no pressure. Because after all, you can't do what you don't have. But if God will give you the seed to sow, then that's when you can see amazing things happen. It is true that some people mistake the seed as being something that they're to eat. In other words, they think it's their crop or their harvest, and so they can eat their seed, when actually it's the seed that God gave to sow. And that often can be the breakthrough seed. So sometimes people mistake a breakthrough seed that God gave you to sow as being their harvest. And I've kind of got stuck in that before and didn't quite know what it was for. And one time the Lord told me, that's not your harvest, that's your seed. And at that time it was the greatest seed that I sowed, but I sowed it. I didn't need it. I could have. In other words, I could have spent it or used it for a current need, but I sowed it. And that really was a seed that took us to a new level. So be aware of that, because I believe that God's going to give you seed to sow. And out of that, you'll see a great harvest. Praise God. But I just want to encourage you that if we sow sparingly, especially when we have the ability to do something special, but we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we will also reap bountifully. Praise God. Glory to God. And I want to see you walking in abundant harvest. So on March 31st, which is Sunday morning, Resurrection Day, either on that day or if you can pull it together before, get your resurrection seed offering in. So at this time, we're now going to honor God with the tithe. And I want you to continue to prepare and pray towards your special offering. Now, if you're going to mail it in, you can send that to Stephen Brooks International, P.O. Box 717, Moravian Falls, North Carolina. Our zip code is 28654. And you know, I really do look forward to these, I would call them special opportunity offerings, where God designates special moments, and there is a great blessing associated with that. And I want you to participate. Now, if you're going to bring in your tithe and your special offering online, let me show you how easy it is to do this. Go to the ministry website, stephenbrooks.org, and then look at the top. When you look up at the top, there's a header that says Give Online. Just click that. It says Give Online, okay? And then it takes you to the giving page. And then there's the word Fund, F-U-N-D. And when you click on Fund, it opens up a drop-down menu. And there's the area for the tithe. And then there is the area where it says Resurrection Seed. Okay? Praise the Lord. So it's very simple. Bring the tithe in. And whenever your resurrection seed is prepared, if you want to bring it in online, there is the special link for that. Now, if you put it like in another area where it says like offering or something like that, maybe you didn't know, well, just make a little notation, resurrection seed, and we'll know that's what it's for. And your giving really does help us to continue to move the ministry forward. And I've realized over the years, as I've been in ministry and I have looked into what we could call behind the scenes of how some major ministries broke through. Really, the tithe allows the ministry to run smoothly. But when you want to break through and do more for the kingdom of God, that really is moved forward through the sacrificial giving of God's people. What is an offering? It is anything above the tithe. So while the tithe keeps the ministry stabilized and we're able to operate, it really is the special offerings that people sow that allow us to do the special things that God has called us to do. Heavenly Father, I pray over your people as they are tithers. I thank you that the windows of heaven are opened over their lives. I thank you, Father, that it is their offerings that determine what is poured through the windows. So, Father, I thank you that those that want an abundant harvest, let them embrace the teachings of the Apostle Paul as inspired by the Spirit, that they can sow generously and reap a generous harvest. And I thank you, Father God, that you're lifting your people up out of any lack, out of all debt, out of any sufficiency, and you're lifting them far beyond needs met into the place where they can be kingdom sowers, kingdom financiers. Now, Father, we give you all of the praise. I know your people have a great heart to give, and this is part of that divine recipe to lift them up into higher level of breakthroughs and blessings. It's through operating through your system of sowing and reaping. Father, bless them. I thank you for their obedience, and I thank you for the reward, the increase on the other side of their obedience. We give you all of the praise in Jesus' name. And together we say, amen. Praise God. Well, today, as we're going to move over into the message, my first scripture, which is our key scripture, is actually found in the book of 2 Corinthians. So why don't you join me over there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Woo, praise God. And I want to talk today about the force that was behind the faith of Abraham. I mean, his faith in many ways we could say was legendary in the sense that he is the spiritual father of our faith. He set the template. He was a blueprint example of what we can follow. And when we follow his type of faith, we get Abrahamic type results. So I want you to pay careful attention today because I know that this message will greatly bless you. Heavenly Father, as we begin to study your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come today with the oil so that there is not a mechanical dryness in our lives, but a vibrant, productive faith. And we thank you for the oiling of our faith. We thank you for the oil of the Holy Spirit. Father, we give you all of the praise in Jesus' name we say. In Jesus' name we pray and say, amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's take a look at verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Now, over the years, I have taught on the various principles that are unveiled in the kingdom of God. But my friends, we must turn principles into productivity. Okay? Let's dive into this today. When the spirit of faith comes on you, you will notice very quickly that you begin to get results. You know, it was in the year of 2009. I was thinking earlier this morning the exact year that was. I believe it was the year 2009 when my ministry hosted a conference and we brought in multiple speakers, international speakers. And of course, I was the host. I was, the first speaker up. And we were bringing this all together and the registration was packed out. And when we all came together, it was a rented facility, but there was not an empty seat anywhere. It was just absolutely packed. And before the meeting ever took place, I met with the person that I was renting the facility from, and he showed me the sound system, and he said, Pastor Stephen, the sound system is good. It's a good system, and we'll have it out so that whenever, your meeting starts, the microphones are set up and stuff like that. I said, okay, thank you. And in all honesty, I probably should have checked a little more thoroughly about the sound system. But, I took his word for it. But on the day that the conference was to start, of course, I'm there very early to the meeting place. Everything's getting set up and the microphones were put out, the cables, running back to the mixer board. All of that was done. But as we got closer to the start of the conference, and I'm kind of overseeing various things. You know, we have a team, but we're all doing our thing. And the out-of-state sound engineer who came in to help with sound said, he said, "Pastor Stephen, we're having some real problems with this sound system." He said, "It's actually very old, very outdated. The microphones, we're having problems with the microphones, problems with the archaic cables connecting the microphones." But he said the sound system probably hasn't been used in quite some time, and we're really struggling with it back here. And he was a pro. And so he was telling me, you know, "I'm going to try to do my thing to hold this together, but it's not looking very good." So we got to 5 minutes before the meeting was to start. The first session started at 11 o'clock in the morning, and it's literally 5 till 11, and the place was packed. Not a seat anywhere. The speakers are there. The worship leader is there, and everybody's there. And I've got all of this stuff going on. Plus, somebody was talking to me, and the sound engineer came back to me, and he came up to me real close, and he almost looked pale. He said, "Stephen, the whole sound system has died." And the other person I was talking to, I said, "Excuse me, I'll have to pick up with you later." I said, "What do you mean it's died?" He said, "It's completely dead, and it won't work or anything." I said, "Okay." And I said, "Go back and just kind of look over it and give it one more look." And then the other person that was talking to me was kind of like he was a conference attendee. So he was all happy, and he was saying, "Pastor Stephen, this is so cool. This is going to be a wonderful meeting." But he doesn't really know, because he's never hosted a meeting. That's fine. But he doesn't know all of the dynamics sometimes that swirl in the background when you've got a lot of stuff like that going on. And so I just said, "Hey, I'll have to talk to you later." And so he went, sat down, got ready for the conference to start. Now, when that sound engineer came to me, it was 5 minutes till 11, and he came back, and it was now like a minute and 40 seconds before 11 o'clock when it was time to start. And when I start meetings on time. I'll start it on time. It doesn't matter what's going on. I'm going to start that meeting on time. And at about like less than 2 minutes before we're about to start, that sound engineer came up to me and said, "Stephen, it's alive." He said, "I can't explain it. It like came back to life." I said, "Good, go back there and operate it. And we're going to get through this conference. We're going to be okay." Woo, praise the Lord. Amen. What does the spirit of faith do that's different from just like what people say, "I have faith"? Okay, the spirit of faith is very, very different because it's like super glue that is able to hold you in a place of calmness, even if there's pandemonium going on all around. The spirit of faith is amazing. And while we want to understand principles explain how things work, okay? We need to understand principles and the principles of faith. But let me give you an example between the difference of knowing principles of faith and the spirit of faith. When the sound system died, and he told me at 5 minutes before 11, he said, "Stephen, it's dead." He said, "The whole system is totally dead, and I can't get it started, and it looks like it is never going to start again." There was a calmness. And I didn't begin to start saying, "Well, now we need to get together and pray. Now I'm going to start quoting scriptures, and you go back there and you start binding the devil." No, I didn't do any of that. I just stood there in total calmness. I said, "Go back there and just, you know, take another look over it, and we're going to be okay." And but there was total calmness. There was no like, "Let us now use faith. We need 10 intercessors. Get them over there in the corner. Have them lay hands on them." No, there was serenity and peace. Why? That is the spirit of faith resting upon an individual so that you can still do what God has called you to do. Praise God. But this is something that is very different about the spirit of faith. And maybe you've never caught this before, but I want you to see it. In Romans chapter 1, verse 11, really will help you, I believe, to catch something. Now, take a look at this. By the way, I like the number 111 a whole lot. There's two numbers in Scripture that God has dealt with me over the years. That would be 11:11, and the other is 1:11. And so Romans 1:11 is a pretty enriching verse, to say the least. It's amazing. Now look at this. Romans 1, verse 11. Paul said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established." Okay, the spirit of faith establishes the Word of God in your life. And the spirit of faith, it's imparted. It's something that is imparted. It's not like mechanical, like we're going to work principles now. No, it is a spirit. It is a spirit that can be imparted into a person. And what is imparted into a person, it establishes them and it stabilizes them in the assignment that God has for their life. And it'll stabilize not just your assignment, or we could say your career and what God has called you to do, but it'll stabilize you in your marriage. It'll stabilize you with your family. It'll stabilize you in the grocery store. Mm-mm. It is the spirit of faith. Woo! Praise God. You know, there is that old Pentecostal statement. Now, I've only heard it in Pentecost. I don't hear it in other streams of Christianity. But in Pentecost, they would say it's better caught than taught. And that, my friends, is correct. Paul, you're not going to out-teach Paul. Paul, probably the greatest teacher in the body of Christ, okay, outside of Christ himself. But even with that teaching, let me give you another example. Even with going to Bible college, or even going to a school of ministry that would greatly emphasize the integrity of the Word of God, which is essential. If you don't catch, because it doesn't necessarily come by just solely teaching, if you don't catch the spirit of faith, all you will know is what we would say are the mechanics of faith, principles of faith, make a good confession and stuff like that. You know, read your Bible and meditate the Word. But the spirit of faith is something that is very, very different. You have to catch it. Why? It's imparted. Woo! Oh, praise God. When you are imparted with the spirit of faith, the Word of God will become established in your life. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me see if I can contrast this with something that happened in my life one time. I love the biblical subject of wisdom. And I remember one particular incident in my life where I read, you know, I was reading through the book of Proverbs and just devouring it. I was just thinking, wow, this is so good. I feel like I could spend the rest of my life in the book of Proverbs, because it is the unveiling of wisdom. So I was reading Proverbs and having a good time. And after I was done, after having read the book of Proverbs and thinking that was wonderful, I went out and did something that was very unwise, and it actually hurt me. What happened was, I was at the beach with my wife and daughter, and my daughter and I were going to get into a kayak, push off from this little inlet that we were at. We're going to cross over the bay in the kayak, and then there's a sandbank. On the other side of the sandbank is the Atlantic Ocean. So the Atlantic Ocean, that part of the beach, you could stand on that beach and look in both directions and not see anybody for 2 miles. It was pretty remote. It was exotic and beautiful. You could go there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's not like somebody has come by earlier and picked up the shells, because nobody's coming by. So it had phenomenal shells, and it was very, very beautiful place, but you had to make a little journey to get there. So the little bay area in that inlet, it was a little bit rough where we were starting from. What I mean by that was that little inlet beach area, it had, you know, like you could see where somebody had previously thrown a soda can or some trash had washed up on that shore area, and it wasn't that pretty. But I was just so excited about going that I just walked across the beach and grabbed the kayak, and when I did, I cut my foot with a gash into my foot. because there was a piece of glass there and I didn't see it. And I thought, I can't believe that I would spend that time reading the book of Proverbs and walk out and do something so stupid as not to put my shoes on. Now, normally, I think I would. Normally, I would think that beach looks like there's a lot of garbage that's washed up on it. I should put shoes on that. But I was just excited and stuff like that and walked right across it and just put a deep cut in my foot. Now, I was still so excited that I didn't even get stitches. I just put a Band-Aid over it and kind of pulled it real tight and, you know, and eventually closed up and healed up and I was fine. But how could I spend time like that reading the book of Proverbs and then go out and do something that was really like unwise to do? Here's why. There's a difference between what I would call like rote wisdom or like intellectual wisdom as compared with the spirit of wisdom. Look, when Moses laid hands on Joshua, it says that the spirit of wisdom that was on Moses went over on Joshua also. So that incredible spirit of wisdom on Moses to lead 3 million people through a wilderness. Can you imagine pastoring a church of 3 million people? That spirit of wisdom that was on him went over on Joshua. Now that same spirit's on him. And it's not like just the ability to like make kind of like good decisions. It's more than intellectual. It's spiritual. Why? It is the spirit of wisdom. And it's something that comes on you like a garment. It actually has like a tangibleness to it. There is a presence of God with that particular anointing. And so that same spirit of wisdom on Moses, now on Joshua. And that, so what I'm trying to say is that's different from sitting down and just reading through it. Well, I read the book of Proverbs. I guess I'm wise now. It doesn't exactly work like that. You have to have the impartation of it. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? Why the impartation gives you the spirit of it. Now, I did have an impartation once with the spirit of wisdom. And when it happened, I can honestly say my life has never been the same. When I had an encounter with the spirit of wisdom and realized that before I had never really had that, and then I had that encounter, yes, it was a total turning point, not only for my ministry, but for my life. An absolute watershed defining moment when I had an encounter with the spirit of wisdom. So what I'm trying to say is that the spirit is the oil that drives the principles. Okay? Think about that. It is the spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is the oil that drives these biblical principles. Okay, so whether it's principles of wisdom or principles of faith, it is the Spirit that drives it. So it's actually, it is the spirit of faith that is actually behind that phenomenal faith that Abraham was demonstrating. Woo. It's not just him saying the right thing, although you need to say the right thing. It's not just saying, well, let's confess God's word and speak what God said, although that is good and you will do that. But it really is a force that is behind it. What is the force? It's the spirit of faith. Just like there is a spirit of wisdom that can also affect the way you think, where you actually begin to think like God does. And, you know, we see in the epistles that we have the mind of Christ. But that is an impartation where you begin to think like Jesus would, and Jesus does. That is a spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, Pastor Stephen, I believe I have faith. That's good. But you cannot be thrown into a lion's den and stare. Those big creatures, they're big when you get up to them, and you're also on the inside, not on the outside of the bars looking through, but you're now in a lion den, and you've got hungry, ravenous lions looking at you. You cannot stare them down without the spirit of faith. You cannot just be in there and say, well, I have faith, praise God. Let me say a scripture and I hope, you know, be at peace, dear children of the Lord. No, no, no. You have to have the spirit of faith. And that is a force. That is a force that dominates. And that's why Moses could go into Egypt when God had told him, go deliver my people. And he can go in there and overthrow the whole thing. He was too much for Pharaoh, too much for Pharaoh's army. There was nothing that the enemy could do because the spirit of faith is what is driving him to do what God told him to do. There's a force behind it. It's not intellectual, although you're going to work with your mind and you'll meditate upon the word, but there's a driving force behind it, and you're going to come to know it from this day forward. Principles alone cannot drive a man to wait 25 years for a promise. Doesn't matter how grandiose the promise is. You can't just hang out and just, you know, you're not going to make it without the spirit of faith. Put yourself in the shoes of Abraham for a moment, because Abraham operated in the spirit of faith. If you put yourself in his shoes and God gave you the promise at the age of 75 that you're going to have a miracle child, and then by the age of 80, nothing's happened. And then by the age of 85, nothing's yet happened. And then by the age of 90, still nothing has happened. Nothing has happened at all. And the only thing that's happened as you've gotten older, and the miracle would look more and more impossible. But in spite of that, it says that Abraham did not waver. Why? How can you keep going years and years and even over a decade? How can you do that? You can only do it with the spirit of faith. That's the only way you're going to get there. Mm-mm. Thank you, Jesus. You can only be imparted with the spirit of faith by those who have it. If they don't have it, it's empty hands being laid on empty heads. Woo! I'll say it again. You can only be imparted with the spirit of faith by those who have it. You cannot give to somebody something that you don't have. Why do we need the spirit of faith? Well, because every time the Word of God comes alive in our spirit and we believe it, in most cases, it does not deliver immediately. It normally delivers in phases. Mm-mm. I'm going to say it again. This is why we need the spirit of faith. Because every time the Word of God comes alive in our spirit and we believe it, in most cases, which is the majority, it does not, that word does not deliver immediately. It normally delivers in phases as you walk it out. So you need the spirit of faith in order to stick with it and to keep at it until the fullness of what the word has promised comes to light in your life. Mm-mm-mm. Praise the Lord. Look, we have the same spirit of faith. The spirit of faith to believe God to do the impossible. To believe God to do what others say can't be done. Most importantly, to believe God to do what he assigned you and told you and called you to do. Mm-mm-mm. Look at this in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Look, you don't need to know how. You don't even really need to understand it. All you need to know is that it works and you need to believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Accept and believe. Praise God. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade. That's the first thing that always pops up, is that little blade. Then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. What does this demonstrate? It demonstrates that God's word delivers in a process. It takes the spirit of faith not to lose hope in the waiting process. And if Abraham did some waiting, you and I will have to do some too. Yes, great things will transpire this year. Yes, great things are transpiring this month. But they're transpiring most often in the next phase being accomplished. The faith that works is the kind of faith that Abraham had. Abraham patiently endured and obtained the promise. So if God has spoken, then what you need to do is hold on tight to what he has said, because he will do whatever he says he will do. He will do it. He's going to get it done in your life. Hold on. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Well, Pastor Stephen, I'll be. Look at that. Look at that. God kept his word. Yep, he sure did. Sure am glad Sarah hung around to see the miracle. I sure am glad that Sarah didn't quit and say, well, I think my husband is some kind of a nut job, and I don't know why we ever left the Ur of the Chaldees, and I don't know about all of this. And no! She hung in there all the way, and then God did exactly the miracle that he promised her that he would do. You know, God's told you something too, hasn't he? Well, Pastor Stephen, yes, he has. Yes, yes. Yes, he has, hasn't he? I know you can hear from God. You don't have to be a prophet to hear from God. I know that you can hear from God. He's told you something, hasn't he? Yes. Yes. Delight in that. Rejoice in that. Yes. Praise God. But you're going to need some endurance. Amen. Which is why you need the spirit of faith. Praise God. The spirit of faith enables you to be stable in the midst of conflicts and contradictions, and to be relaxed in the midst of the storm. My friends, you will have what would appear to be conflicting evidence. You're in faith, but the doctor's report says this. You're in faith, but you are receiving information that the person is still on drugs or whatever the case might be. You're in faith, but there's all these contradictions and all these conflicts that are just flying around like buzzards in the air. But my friends, you could still be relaxed in the middle of the storm. Why? God spoke to you already and said, this is what I'm going to do for you. But see, he will do it in his time and in his way. And by the way, when it's done in his time and his way, it's the best. It's beautiful. It's presented at the highest level. It is worth waiting for. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. To rush God is to find fault with God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. So, my friends, relax. Things will swirl. Opposing circumstances will certainly present themselves. But now you know what was empowering Abraham. The Abraham type of faith demonstrates the effect and the operation of the spirit of faith at work in a child of God. And he was doing this under the old covenant system. My goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The stability that was inside of Abraham, it came by an inner force. And that inner force, my friends, is the operation of the spirit of faith. You're about to have an encounter with it. So it can't just be principles or when the journey's long, you're going to get discouraged. So it can't just be like mechanical and principles and stuff like that. It's not a formula. There are principles that we are going to work, but the deeper element is the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is the force behind a genuine faith that is working and producing. See, you can mimic somebody else's message. You can like, in some ways, kind of like copycat them, but you can't mimic or copycat their proofs. That's something you're going to have to work out with God in your own faith journey. Mm-mm. So, how do we make contact with the spirit of faith? Well, one of the best things is to slowly go through the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and look at all of the accomplishments, sometimes ones that were very personal, very intimate, others, things that were done that literally shook nations. Wow. Other things that were done where a person would receive a very specific desire and they would get it. Despite the impossibility of it ever happening, they still got it. Even Sarah. And I like how the Weymouth translation words that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Even Sarah, even she received. So there is a little bit of a joyful remembrance poking there at, hey, you're the one that laughed. You're the one that laughed at your husband who was in faith when Jesus in a theophany was talking to your husband, and you still thought the whole thing was like a joke or something. Woo! And, you know, she said, I didn't laugh. Abraham said, yeah, you did laugh. He told me you did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, later on, something kicked in with Sarah. Her husband already had it. But something kicked in with her, and she's like, you know what? I'm not going to be the family joke. I'm not going to be the one that's the barren one. That will not be how I end my life with people snickering behind my back. You know, no, I'm going to get it. So what happened? I believe she got around her husband too much in that area where he would talk, and it started to affect her. And what happened? The next thing you know, and I don't know exactly when it shifted, but the spirit of faith began to get into her, and she's like, yeah, I'm going to get it. I actually believe that's true. I saw that man come talk to my husband. I heard what he told my husband. This stuff is for real. Hallelujah. So it's not like she's just going around like kind of like quoting mechanically, I'm going to have a child one day. No. She's like lit up on the inside with this fiery force. Yeah, I'm getting it too. Yeah, I'm going to have mine too. Woo! Way past menopause, way past the ability for a woman to ever have a child. The womb was in a way like dead, but yet she still had it. So even Sarah, she got hers. She got hers. Praise God. So you can meditate on those in Hebrews chapter 11 that got their miracles. You can also read, and I encourage you to do it, read anointed books and materials that are infused with faith. Not dead theology. Not silly religious theories that don't produce anything. Mm-mm. But, my friends, whatever you do need in life, the spirit of faith will cause it to be delivered to you. Praise God. And, of course, you can also get the spirit of faith through impartation. And I want to release the spirit of faith upon you. Some of you, you've never had it. That's why you're a little bit like a roller coaster. You love Jesus, and you love God's Word, and maybe even spend time in the Word of God. But because you've never had that spirit of faith encounter that stabilizes you, you're still kind of like this. And if something catches you off guard, you almost kind of like go into like a frantic, maybe even like a meltdown mode. Why? You've never had the spirit of faith come rest on you and stabilize you and make you a person like Abraham. Woo, praise God. Praise the Lord. Like the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, we have the same spirit. David had it. Those people that accomplished great things had the spirit of faith on them. We having the same spirit, not just faith, the same spirit of faith. If you want this and you want it strong, lift both hands right now. If you're driving, you might need to pull over. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Lift both hands right now. Just pause for a moment so that you can receive an impartation. An impartation. Lift both hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those right now that crave the spirit of faith, that the spirit of faith be released upon them now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, take it by faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now, Father, I thank you that because of this, they will be a people that are more than conquerors, a people that will not tolerate defeat in their lives in areas that you have made provision for. I thank you for miraculous turnarounds and breakthroughs. I thank you, Father, that in many ways, Hebrews chapter 11 is still being extended, still being added to through those throughout church history, and even those in this hour who are doing the impossible because of the spirit of faith making it possible. We thank you, Father, that all things are possible to him who believes, and we believe as we are empowered by the force of the spirit of faith. We thank you, Father, that the same spirit that empowered Abraham, that empowered David, that empowered Paul is now on those who have embraced it. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo, praise God, amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, when the baptism of the spirit of faith, which many of you just received, when that's on you, you're no longer a pushover for the devil or for any situation. Praise God. Hallelujah. When there's somewhere you're supposed to be and a place you're supposed to be and you're confronted with no, you can't go there, no, you'll just realize there's a yes around here somewhere. I don't give up. Woo, praise the Lord. You know, you see in Scripture the great crowds that would be around Jesus. And I'm sure there were those that had needs that would say, I can't get through the crowd. Why even try? But you do see those that were very creative with their faith, even if it meant doing things that would be a little bit unorthodox, such as pushing through the crowd or coming up on the top of the roof and opening up the roof. It's just a spirit of faith that says there is a way forward. There is a way out of any problem, out of any trouble. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're going to the next level. We give you praise, Father. Amen and amen. Now, if you're watching today and you don't know Jesus, you cannot receive the spirit of faith unless, first of all, you're born again. So if you don't know Christ, you need to come to him right now and receive salvation. Just pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of all of my sins. Wash me right now with your precious blood. Write my name in your book of life. Step into my life today, Lord Jesus, and lead me and guide me in all that I do. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome to the family of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Right now, tell the Lord what you need. Call upon the name of the Lord right now. Call upon the Lord right now and tell him what you're believing him to do. Praise God. Tell him right now. Release your faith right now and claim it by faith and call it done and celebrate God's power to see it brought to pass. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we're not just grasping for things. We're only reaching for what God says pertains to our inheritance. Hallelujah. That's all. We're not greedy, but all we're trying to do is fulfill our callings and to enjoy the journey in Christ. Praise God and be a blessing. Amen to others. So right now, just reach by faith and take a hold of what you need. You're going to see it manifest in your life. Now, let's take Holy Communion. Grab some unleavened bread and some grape juice. Praise the Lord. This is a breakthrough day for many. Praise God. Grab yourself a cracker and some grape juice. Let's pray. Father, we bless the bread and the juice. Through this prayer, we set it apart as being holy. This is now the body and the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you that it's veiled in the form of what would appear to be grape juice and bread, but we are now receiving the Lord's body and blood. Father, as we receive his flesh by faith, we thank you, O God, that Jesus hung on that cross to make full provision for all that we need. So right now we help ourselves to what is on the table of provision. And we take it, we exercise our faith. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the spirit of faith that calls it done. We thank you for a relaxed faith that's not strained or worried or troubled. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's receive together. Amen. Sometimes people don't understand me. I share this because sometimes they won't understand you either. Why? Because when weird, goofy stuff happens, I'm not worried about it. And I'm not chewing my nails, and I'm not like pulling my hair out, and I'm not losing sleep. So sometimes people might think, he doesn't care. No, it's not that I don't have compassion, and it's not that I don't feel, in a sense, that pain and can't identify with it. It's just that the spirit of faith is resting on me, and I have heard from God concerning this situation, and I already know the outcome. I already know the outcome. Praise God. So I'm staying in a relaxed, composed faith because I'm being blanketed with something that I can't see that's supernatural, and it's stabilizing me. And that's why you can have Christians, they don't understand that. Why? They've never encountered the spirit of faith. Woo! So stay in your place of peace and be who you are in Christ. Be you. Don't let people force you and push you and then get you out of character because they are. You stay stabilized. You need to sign this right now, Pastor. Sign that. What am I signing? Don't worry about it. Just sign it. No, we don't operate like that. We run things smooth around here. Praise the Lord. Amen. I will not enter into somebody else's arena of confusion and chaos. Now, if they want to live there, that's fine. But I'm not going to. And I know you want to be in God's peace as well. Father, we thank you for the blood of Christ, for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that we are epistles. We are letters that are read by others, not only when we're preaching and sharing the gospel, but when we're just living. And we thank you for a relaxed faith that's stabilized all the time. Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the Lord's holy blood. I see a miracle on the way for you. Shout, yes. I see a miracle on the way for you. And I know when it happens, you're going to be shouting. The spirit of faith, as it touches you now, will make you shout right now. Woo, glory to God. Thank you for watching. Thank you for receiving. And thank you also for being mindful about Resurrection Sunday that's coming up very, very soon. Praise God. I'm praying for you. I'll be praying also over your gift when it comes in, joining my faith with yours for what you're believing God to do. Amen. Thank you for watching. I'll see you back again real soon. Bye-bye.